Good morning. Thank you for inviting me to share God's Word with you this morning. And maybe just a little bit of a preface. Originally, I was scheduled to preach here last week Sunday, but you know the scoop on that in terms of Pastor Ed preaching here. So basically, this message I'm going to give probably would have been a little bit more appropriate for the first Sunday in Lent, but as it is, this is the second Sunday, but I'm sure you'll understand since I had done the work on this message. And I'm going to be reading from the Gospel of Luke, just a few verses, chapter 23, the verses 33 through 35. And they are no doubt words that are quite familiar to you. But just to give you a little bit of background, if you were to read further back in this chapter, you will discover, for example, at verse 4 of Luke 23, that Pilate makes his first declaration of Jesus' innocence when he says, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." And then a little later in verse 14, Pilate is recorded as saying, "I have examined him," that is Jesus, "in your presence, and have found no basis for your charges against him, neither has Herod." And then there's another verse that we'll get to a little bit later, but right now we're going to just concentrate on the verses 33 through 35. "When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.' And they divided up his clothes and by casting lots. And the people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, 'He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God,'" if he is the anointed one of God, that means the chosen one. Dear people of God, I suppose some introductory words have already been spoken concerning the season of Lent, and as we well realize, it started about a week and a half ago with what's called Ash Wednesday. It's that time of the church season where we make our approach to Good Friday and Easter. It is a season in the church year that is really meant to be a season of really very personal reflection of where each one of us is at in relationship to our Lord. It's a season of deep, deep personal reflection. That's what it's meant to be historically. Not only personal reflection, but a season of really deep personal meditation and prayer, and yes, even fasting. Focusing on all that is part and parcel of Lent, Jesus' ministry, his suffering, his dying, and obviously, eventually, his rising again. And it's my prayer that for you as a congregation, as it is for me personally, that we will use this time this year to really dig deep into what really our relationship with the Lord is all about. Now, having said that, I just want to share with you that whenever I come to this particular little section where Jesus says, "Father, forgive them," I just stand in awe. And I hope you do too. I stand in awe of the fact that, knowing myself very well, that those words are not words, if I were in Jesus' situation, that I would have spoken. "Father, forgive them." I think I'd be a lot less charitable towards my accusers. And I dare suggest that you are not unlike me, and that you probably also have difficulty swallowing these words of Jesus when he says, "Father, forgive them." I think our nature, our tendency would be to want to have justice done, to be declared innocent. But Jesus didn't respond that way. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." Jesus doesn't really do anything to prove his innocence. And in a sense, he didn't have to, because Pilate had already done it for him. I read you a twofold declaration, but then we come to the third one. For the third time, Pilate spoke to them, "I have found no grounds for the death penalty." Three times, Pilate declares him innocent. It's enough to make your blood boil. And to cry out and to say, where is the justice in all this? Even the rulers of that age declare him innocent. And yet, Jesus is hanging there, suspended between heaven and earth. I don't know if you realize that, but in that day and in that culture, being suspended between heaven and earth also had kind of this symbolism of belonging nowhere, kind of an ultimate curse. You didn't belong in heaven, you didn't belong on earth. And there he hung. And I want you to try to enter into that scene a little bit this morning, and as best we can, and just, I want to ask you, do you hear, as you stand at the foot of the cross, do you hear the hammer blows as the nails pierce his hands and his feet? Can you have some sense of his body just shuddering as each nail is pounded into those hands and into those feet? And then to think that hardly a word came from his mouth. No loud protest. For the most part, silence. Silence. And according to tradition, the first words we hear him speak from the cross, "Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing." Now let me ask you this. How do we really hear those words? "Father, forgive them." I would dare, or I would venture to say that most of us, when we read that, we kind of see and hear that as a prayer to God, you know, something like, "Father, please forgive them. Please forgive them." But really, when we go back to the original Greek, that's not what it says, because it really is a command. "Father, forgive them." Jesus on the cross was here exercising his divine authority. An authority that looked oh so different from the kind of authority that society of that day was used to, and even we today are used to. Because we tend to view authority as power, as lording it over people, all those kinds of things. But not Jesus. For the people who were standing near the cross, authority, power, and might, he would have shown it if, as they said, he would have gotten off the cross. "He saved others," they say, "let him save himself if he's the anointed one of God, if he's the Christ of God." That's power. That's authority in the world's eyes. That we can deal with. But not this command. "Father, forgive them." And we too, we look for power and authority in those kind of warped ways, don't we? We want to be able to look up to a powerful and authoritative figure We want to see displays of power and might and overcoming. We too probably would have been much more impressed if Jesus had somehow gotten off that cross, and maybe even better, if he had come off that cross and just slain his accusers. But Jesus remained on the cross, exercising his authority to forgive sin. Now, without going into all kinds of detail, this is one of the themes that runs through the Gospel of Luke, this theme of forgiveness. I'm just going to give you one example. The paralytic in the Gospel of Luke was one of the first things that Jesus says to him, "Your sins are forgiven you." And a little later, "So that you may know that the Son of Man has the authority to forgive sins," Jesus said, "Take your bed and go home." That you may know that he has the authority to forgive sins. That is to say, the ultimate kind of authority is not what we think authority is, but is the authority to forgive sins. Now notice also that this command from the Lord Jesus comes with what I'll call kind of a ground. And the ground is this: they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. More literally, they totally, completely don't know what they're doing. They were completely without right, proper knowledge. And as it says in Luke 6 in another context, I'm just going to use those words, they were completely ungrateful and wicked. And Jesus' prayer command, I'll call it, Jesus' prayer command gives us an indication of what true authority looks like, certainly within the context of the Christian church or community. Now, as mentioned previously, we, like the crowd, we're probably much more impressed with Jesus coming off that cross and thereby showing his authority and power. But this prayer command should give us pause. And we need to ask ourselves very personally what our response will be or is to this forgiving authority of Jesus. He commanded forgiveness for those who out of their spiritual bankruptcy hung him on the cross. He prays forgiveness because Jesus loved them. It's a command that applies as much then or today as it did then. We are Christ's modern day disciples. And Jesus passed his forgiving authority onto us as his people. Again, made clear when at Pentecost the Holy Spirit was poured out. Peter, in his Pentecost sermon, among other things, says this: "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." The authority that Christ, through the Holy Spirit, has graced his church with is the authority to forgive sin. And I dare suggest that we need to think in those terms much more than we tend to. Again, too often we think in of authority and in terms of power and might and those kinds of things. But a great, great privilege has been extended to us as people of God, of Jesus today, extended to us through God's Word and through the Holy Spirit. And that privilege is this: the privilege of setting people free from their bondage to false concepts and ideals about what power and authority really is. And so as we kind of still are entering the season of Lent, we need to think about that more critically. We just witnessed a baptism. And baptism is in part that symbolism, as water cleanses us, so the blood of Christ cleanses us, forgives us all our sins. Every time we celebrate communion, Lord's Supper, we hear words like this: take, eat, take, drink, believe that the body was given for complete forgiveness of all your sins. The blood of Christ poured out for the forgiveness, the complete forgiveness of all your sins. And as forgiven sinners, we too may now proclaim forgiveness to others. And that's a powerful weapon when appropriately used. And I emphasize appropriately. This is not simply a message that says just forgive every Tom, Dick, and Harry that comes in your path. There are certain issues that certainly would need to be underscored in many different contexts. But the bottom line is, there is no greater power than the power to forgive. I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity. I have. And maybe if you haven't, maybe that says something about where Christianity in general is at today. I've had the opportunity to speak with people who are wrestling with whatever kind of sin in their lives. And they've confessed that sin. And I've had the privilege of speaking a word of forgiveness in Christ's name. And you could just see the relief on that person's face. That person's been set free by simply speaking a word of forgiveness into that person's life. Or maybe you've been on the other end where you've had to confess something to someone. And you did it with fear and trepidation because you didn't know what the outcome would be. And you confessed whatever you needed to confess, and the person that you were confessing to said, "I forgive you." And it felt so freeing. That cloud no longer, or whatever that thing that needed to be cleared up, that cloud no longer hangs over your head. Forgiveness is that authoritative power that Christ has passed on to his church, to you and to me. And always remember that the nature of the authority we have received from the Lord is the authority to forgive. Forgiveness is what ultimately sets people free. Amen. We're going to conclude with just a brief litany at this time, in which I invite you to participate. I hope it's on the screen. No? Maybe at the end of my sermon notes, do you see it there? If not, we'll just conclude with a prayer. No? Okay, let's pray. Lord God, in love, you predestined us to be your children, adopted children, through Jesus Christ. And as it says in Scripture, in accordance with the pleasure of your will, in Ephesians we read that in Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished upon us. Thank you, Lord, for being reminded of the authority that you have given us, the authority to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and his forgiveness. We pray, Father, that we may always do that, exercise that forgiveness in a responsible way, looking to you, especially as we see you on the cross speaking those words, Father, forgive them. We thank you that you took upon yourself our flesh and blood, that you willingly allowed yourself to be condemned to die so that we might be pardoned and live through you. That you were not beyond being forsaken by God so that we might forever be accepted by him. We give you the praise, the honor, and glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.